Mike DeGubin, Maranatha. And greetings, beloved, to another few moments of Bible study together as we're considering and thinking about the believer in Christ Jesus and who the believer is. There's so much confusion among believers who try to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. We try to live the Christian life the way that we walked before, trying to run our own lives and do our own thing and trying to please the Lord in our own energy, and that's why we become legalistic and we try to live by rules and regulations that man devises because we don't fully understand what it means to be a child of God, to be born into the family of God. And that's why we're taking this time to talk about who we are in Christ. Now, last time we were discussing how that man is a triune being. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." The word God is translated some 2,500 times throughout the Word of God, Elohim. And it comes from a noun that is a plural noun, indicating more than one. And as we've seen from the context of the Scripture itself there in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man." In other words, God is triune. We found that to be true over in the New Testament. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, where the Great Commission is given to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The name, it doesn't say the names, plural. It says the name. God's name is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is triune. And so we're told over in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that man is triune, has a spirit, a soul, and a body. Man is triune. And so we're going to discuss the soul today and talk about the soul. What is the soul of man? Last time we discussed how that the spirit of man relates to the spirit world, that it has to do with our intuition, our conscience, our communion with God. It's the spiritual part of man, that is, our God consciousness dwells there. It's spoken of in the Scripture as the inner man, and it has the Holy Spirit living in the child of God, in the spirit of man. Then in regards to the soul, we see that the soul relates to others. This is the part of us that other people know us as. It's the seat of our personality, our temperament traits. It's what people know us as. You knock on the door and somebody says, "Who is it?" And you say, "It's me." And they say, "Oh, come on in." They recognize something about your temperament, our personality, your communication. The soul contains the mind. The mind is the thinking part of the brain. It has to do with the part of our mind that reasons, that understands, that has knowledge. And we're told by scientists that we use a very small part of our mind and the potential that the mind has. And you recall in the Garden of Eden, he named all of the animals that God had created. His mind was not warped and twisted and impacted by sin like our minds are. And therefore, our minds are lacking so much that could be theirs had sin not impacted our life. In the soul is the emotions. The emotions have to do with the feelings. The feelings that are produced by the information of the mind. For instance, if you are pulling open a drawer, and as you pull out the drawer, you see a snake inside the drawer, it immediately affects your emotions. your emotions will go on a scale from 1 to 10 up to 10. I mean, this is a shock. And you draw back, and you are filled with fear. But then you realize that the snake that you were looking at is a toy snake. It's not a real snake. And so your mind tells you it's okay. Everything's all right. But your emotions go down very slowly. They don't just go back down to 1. They go down very slowly like a BB in a little tube of oil. You drop a small BB that kids use in their BB guns into some oil, and it goes down very slowly because the oil is thick. Well, our emotions often are like that. They don't just go right back down, but they grow down gradually. And so we see our emotions are that which impacts our lives and has an impact upon our feelings and what we think about things, and how many times we operate on feelings rather than on fact. That's why many people have a hard time with their salvation, accepting the fact that they are truly born again, because there's times they don't feel like they're saved. And so they wonder whether I'm really saved or not because of their feelings. The feelings has nothing to do with our salvation, beloved, other than we do have joy and peace and these type of emotions that are produced by the Holy Spirit. But emotion is not that upon which we can base our salvation, as we'll see a little later in our study. And then our will. Our will now is that part of our soul with which we make choices and decisions based upon the information of the mind, and often based upon our emotions, based upon our feelings. Many times we make choices based on the wrong thing. We make choices based according to how we feel rather than to the facts. That's why God's Word is so important, that we get into the Word of God, that we learn what God says, and that we operate on the basis of God's Word, not on the basis of how we feel. That's why the Lord says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." Because when problems come along, we get all upset, and we get all perturbed, and we get all provoked, and we're walking by feelings and emotions rather than by trusting in the Lord and exercising faith and believing that God's in control and knows what's going on. And then the will, this is the instrument or the part of the soul with which we make choices and decisions based on the information of the mind. And the emotions are both. And this part of man is our self-consciousness. This is the part of us that's conscious of the world about us. It is the psychological part of man. This is the part of man that the psychiatrist deals with. He deals with the soul of man. And that's where he puts the emphasis, and that's where his work is centered around, the mind, the emotions, and the will. In regards to the Trinity, this is a picture of God the Father. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 44 through 48, I want you to know what this scripture tells us here, if you'll look with me to Matthew, chapter 5, verse 44. "But I say to you, love your enemies." Now here we see an act of the will. This is a choice. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Now you can't go by feelings in that regards. You have to go by faith and determine to do what God says to do, irregardless of your feelings. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I remember one time in our ministry when there was a fellow that wanted to get me out of the church. He wanted to get rid of me. And so much so that in our prayer meetings he would pray and ask the Lord to remove me and to get me out of the church and to bring somebody else in as pastor. Well, eventually his prayer was answered, and the Lord did enable us to get someone else in because my wife became ill and I had to give up that ministry and turn it over to someone else. And then the man came back to me one day as I had parked there beside the church to take care of some business, and he begged me to come back to the church. You see, beloved, we don't know our own hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, we're told in the Word of God. And so we don't know our own hearts. And so I could have held a lot of resentment and anger toward this man. Instead, I prayed for him. I prayed that the Lord would open his eyes. I prayed, and the Lord did. The Lord opened his eyes and made him realize that I love those people and that I was not their enemy. I was simply telling the truth and proclaiming the truth of God's Word to them. And he himself acknowledged that and asked that I come back to the Word. But I couldn't because I was having to be a caregiver for my wife and focusing on this ministry that we now have with the radio broadcast and with our internet broadcast. And so we see here that many times men do not know their own hearts. But notice again what the Lord said, pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, and the word perfect means mature. God wants us to grow up, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God wants us to grow up like our Heavenly Father, to be like our Father, to operate on the basis that our Father operates. He loves the sinner. He loves you, my friend. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ died for you. He loves you. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one who will convict you and draw you to the Lord Jesus and invite you to open your heart and invite Jesus Christ to come in. Until next time, the Lord bless you. Goodbye.